That second to last song we sung, there was a line towards the end of it that said, "This I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom." Do you remember that line? You know, the songs that we sing are more than just words up on a screen and something we sing out just to pass the time. They're meant to be meaningful. And I was thinking as we were singing that song, especially that line, "This I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom." That last part, we don't really talk like that much. But basically that just means that Jesus' death on the cross bought us back from the market of sin. The front part of that is what I'm really curious about. Could you say that? Could you say, "This I know with all my heart"? That what Jesus did actually happened. That it's not just some story in an old book. And maybe if you just take it on faith, maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus has paid your ransom? Well, I hope so. But my guess is all of us don't. And today we're going to start on really an epic journey. We're going to start taking little pieces of the longest book in the New Testament together and just start walking through it. And we're going to start a new series that we've called The Early Years. We're going to specifically look at the life of Jesus Christ by looking through the eyes of a man named Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Kind of a clever name, huh? So, if you would, turn with me to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. And we'll start what we've called the early years. Now, as you're turning there, I would say this to you. This journey that we're going to take together may be the most important one that you've ever been on. Because at it is a central question. And this question will determine not only the direction of your life, but according to the Bible, it will determine your destiny. So it's a vital question. And the question Luke's gospel really seeks to answer is this: is Jesus the real deal? It's a pretty simple question, isn't it? Is Jesus the real deal or not? It's either one or the other. So inside of that, I think we can ask things like, are the things that Jesus taught, said, and did, are they legitimate? Is Jesus really who He said He was? Is He trustworthy? Can we depend on His claims? Did He really leave heaven, come to earth, take on the form of a man, live His life, die, and rise again? That's really the central question. Now, the implications of this are huge. If Jesus is the real deal, then everything that He claimed, we have to look at long and hard. If He wasn't real, if He's just another guy that came along and made some big claims and then died, in other words, if He was a lying lunatic, then why do we even bother paying attention to Him at all? So this is an important question. Now, we're going to walk with Luke as he investigates, first, the early years of Jesus' life, so His birth through His teenage years. Now, you might be wondering, why in the world do we need to do this? I mean, don't we already know who Jesus is? Haven't we looked at Him before? Well, some of you here, that's true. You have studied Jesus. You have looked at Him for a long time. And you know Him pretty well. And I would invite you to help us along as we walk through this journey together. Some of you here today are really just checking out this whole Jesus thing. And I think that there's a lot that you can get out of this. My hope is that sort of above our door in invisible letters, as you walk in the worship center, is a sign that says, "Skeptics, welcome." And that it's always okay to come here with questions and to say that I don't know the answers to these. and you're welcome here. And it's okay to publicly say, I'm still checking this out, I'm not sure I buy it. Luke may have written to a guy in that situation. We'll talk about that in a minute. Some of you are on the verge of becoming followers of Jesus. You're close, you have great interest, something is pushing you towards someone, and you just need something to get you over the edge. Maybe this will help. Some of you think you know Jesus, but the Jesus you know doesn't exist. It's not the real Jesus. Some of us may have weak faith right now. Now, we might not admit that, but our faith is struggling. Maybe you're a college student, and all through this year at school, you've been exposed to ideas you've never heard of before, and you've listened to people that seem much smarter than you talk about the Bible and faith and God and religion in ways that have caused the ground from underneath you to crumble, and you're struggling. Maybe you're a high schooler and you're trying to decide, do I even buy this faith thing that my parents have brought me up in? I know I asked that question and really struggle with it. Maybe you're a young adult and you've wandered away from God and now you're coming back, but you're just not quite sure what you think yet. Well, Luke writes to all of you and he has important things to say. I think there's some good cultural reasons why we should really look hard at this question of, is Jesus the real deal? We are surrounded by ideas that are really erroneous, according to Luke, about who Jesus really is. If we venerate Mary above Jesus, that obviously creates questions about who's prominent, who's more important. If you notice, that, as I do, that Mormonism surrounds us, that creates tons of questions about who is Jesus. So there's confusion about that. We are stuck in an environment of extreme secularism and anti-truth notions. And that creates questions about Jesus because he claimed to be the truth. If there isn't truth, then how can someone be the truth? So what Luke says is going to be important. All of this really messes with our understanding of Jesus. So I believe that the question we're going to address over and over and over, is Jesus the real deal, is of vital importance for all of us to really consider. So let's look with that introduction at Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. It says this, "Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses, and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you've been taught." That's as far as we're going to get today. From the outset, we see that Luke is writing to someone named Theophilus. And Theophilus has been taught about who Jesus is, but now he doesn't have certainty. So perhaps he couldn't stand and sing that song that we just sung a few minutes ago. "This I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom." Maybe he had questions about that. That Luke is just one of many people who wrote about Jesus, and he's done so carefully. Now I want to look at each of those pieces carefully together. Luke. Let's think about Luke for a minute. Luke was a doctor by profession. If we study everything the New Testament says about Luke, we find a number of things. One of those is that he was a doctor. Now, many of you have been to the doctor, right? Some of us more than we would like to have been to the doctor. What has been your experience with doctors? How do they typically work? What's the typical personality of a doctor? What? I'm not going to repeat that. Okay, what else? Friendly? Compassionate? Knowledgeable. Knowledge is important to a doctor, right? Okay? Systematic. So in other words, they have an approach that they use that's very systematic to figure out what's going on with us. Right? Okay? Anything else? Busy? Confident? I heard. Okay? An art and a science. Okay? Has anybody ever gone to the doctor and something like this happened? You describe how you're feeling, and the doctor sits back and says, Several of us had that experience. But I wasn't done. And had the doctor say, well, really, I kind of feel like it might be this. Okay? Is that how it typically works? Or does the doctor say, this leads me to this. Okay? That's how physicians work. That's how doctors work. Luke is a doctor. So that's the way he worked. Now, their machines would have been different, of course, but the temperament, the personality, the bent, the how they worked probably was extremely similar, because the same kind of personality tends to function in jobs. Now, that will become very important as we think about Luke. Luke apparently left his practice and entered a big journey to figure out and to write about Jesus. Now, I'll talk more about that in a minute. In the way that Luke did this, he shows that he's not just a physician, he's not just a doctor, but he's an expert historian. He is a world-class historian. And if you were to line up the internal and external evidence for what Luke wrote about and put it in a secular setting, it would hold true to everything else that we study from the ancient world. He was an expert historian. He was also a Gentile. Now, that's important for this reason. He wasn't originally in. He was part of those that were out in terms of the understanding of God. So he understood what it's like to be out, to be on the outside. In fact, he's the only Gentile author of a New Testament book. The only one. And on top of that, he wrote Luke and Acts, which all of this is going to be important. I realize some of it might be dry for you, but it's going to build to something really interesting and crucial. Luke wrote over a fourth of the New Testament. One guy. He was the single greatest author in terms of the volume of material. So he's a vital person. Now, he wrote to a guy named Theophilus. There is some debate about who Theophilus was, but I think a few things are very clear. Theophilus was a Gentile man of some rank and importance. And if you look again back in verse 3, you see about halfway down there it says, write this orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Every time Luke uses that term, most excellent, he's always referring to a Roman official. So those other cases are in Acts. Apparently, Theophilus was more than likely a high-ranking Roman official. So this was a guy of some importance, of some prominence, some significance. Theophilus had apparently heard the gospel. Now, there's one of two cases that people usually put out to say what the situation was for Theophilus. They say either Theophilus had heard information about Jesus and he'd been taught it, but he wasn't yet a believer. He was sort of riding the fence, like maybe you're doing. Now, that's a possibility. The other option is that Theophilus had already become a follower of Jesus, that he was a Christian. But now he was beginning to wonder about some things. And because of some of the material in Luke, some people say that he was questioning his involvement in the church. Because the church had become persecuted, questioned, doubted, struggled, and he wasn't sure, do I fit in now? Is this a group that I want to belong to? You may have asked yourself that as well. By the time Luke wrote this book, Jesus had been gone about 30 years, maybe a little more. There was lots of tension that existed. The Romans hadn't decided yet what they thought about this new religion, but the Jews were sure they wanted to stomp it out. Now, it's highly likely that Luke was commissioned by Theophilus. So it may have gone like this. Theophilus, if he was this prominent Roman official, would have had resources, would have had money. So he may have gone to Luke and said, I want to know for sure. And so I've heard you are an expert physician. You approach things this way. And I want you to do a study. Now Luke said, great. So probably what happened was Luke took every source he could find and he read it. We know he used Mark. Mark would have been written prior to. And there would have been other material circulating around about Jesus, both written and oral. And then it said that he talked to eyewitnesses, didn't it? Now, why is that important? Anybody have an idea? What? They were there. So what? Yes. It's fairly hard to tell somebody, no, you didn't see that. Right? So, Luke probably got on his horse and journeyed around all over the ancient world to meet with people. He probably sat down with Mary, talked to her about what was it like to raise this boy. What was it like to be there as he hung on the cross? Wouldn't that have been amazing? He traveled with Paul. We know that for sure. He traveled extensively with Paul. He and Paul were so close that at one point, very late in Paul's life, when Paul had been hurt, had been rejected, had been pushed aside, had been alienated, you know what Paul says about Luke? He says, everybody else has left me. Luke alone is with me. Luke traveled extensively with this guy. So, if we can count on anything, we can count that Luke did his homework, that he didn't take everything for granted, that faith isn't this blind leap of faith, that it is a careful investigation about facts. Sometimes when it comes to spiritual things, we think you got to check your mind at the door. But Luke proves that's not true. And he studied this in detail. Now, the result is what we hold in our hands. Verse 4, certainty concerning the things you've been taught. When Luke wrote this for us, ultimately, it's not a book saying, I'm not sure, but maybe this is what happened. That's important. Instead, he said, this is fact. This is what took place. Jesus is the real deal. Now, he sets it out in such a way that he says to us, you've got to decide for yourself. Here's the evidence. Read it. Pray. Talk amongst yourselves. And decide. Now, as we go on this journey of exploration together, we're going to be discovering a number of dramatic key themes over and over and over. And I want to talk you through those. If Jesus is really the man who is God, because that's what he claimed. Jesus didn't just claim to be a prophet, a special guy, a nice teacher. He claimed to be God in the flesh. Now, if that's true, then Luke says a number of things are of vital importance based on that. And the first and probably most important is he says there's a way of salvation for everyone. For everyone. Luke says clearly that salvation is offered to all. To all. Even those who are considered outcasts, like the poor, sinful, marginalized. Everybody is to get the opportunity to hear the gospel. Do you believe that? Luke says it's true. Second, he says that people are equal in terms of their importance before God. This is such a message that we need today. They needed it in the first century, and we need it today. Again, Luke emphasizes sinners, the poor, the marginalized, over and over and over and over. And as you walk through the streets of Tempe, and you talk to people, You meet those people, don't you? They're here. There are marginalized people right here in our society. Luke says that everybody, in terms of their importance, their worth, their significance, is equal before God. Now, if you've sat in church a while, that doesn't seem like any big deal to you. But imagine hearing that in the society that Theophilus lived in. Theophilus would have been part of the government that ruled the known world. That was full of classes. Just chocked full of them. And here comes Luke and says, if Jesus is the real deal, then everybody's equal. That's powerful. Now, it wasn't just the poor, the marginalized, the outcast that Luke emphasized. He also showed this about another group of people. He showed it over and over and over again about women. Did you know that in the first century, women were not allowed to be trained in religious education? They just weren't allowed. Did you know that they could not speak in court? Their voice simply did not count. They were just less important. They could be divorced essentially for no reason. They were a very held down group of people. But in comes Jesus. And Jesus was countercultural in how he treated women. There is a gigantic misunderstanding about Christianity and the role and importance of women. Despite their low social standing in Jesus' day, they have leading roles all throughout Luke. Mary, Elizabeth, Anna, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, Mary and Martha, the women at the crucifixion, women at the empty tomb. More than any other women are found in the gospel. And I think that's just fascinating, incredible. It shows us that God has a heart for the oppressed, that salvation is for all. And so Luke makes this very important contribution in our Bibles. And that contribution is this, that while the Bible clearly teaches that men and women have different roles in the home and in the church, Luke tells us that in Jesus' eyes, and thus should be in our eyes, all are of equal value and worth. Now, that would have turned the world upside down in Luke's day. And it should in our day as well. Another thing that clearly Luke teaches is that the Holy Spirit has really come. Luke highlights the Spirit many, many times. And he says that the Spirit now resides in us. In other words, if Jesus is the real deal, then when you put your trust and faith in Him, then inside of you comes to live an unending resource. A resource to empower you to do everything God wants you to do and be everything God wants you to be. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? If Jesus is the real deal, then His followers are to live differently than the rest of the world, Luke tells us very clearly. This is something really on my heart. If we claim to follow Him, then we should live and act differently than everybody else. He gives us concrete pictures about what it means to live for Jesus and what it costs us. And He calls us to things like utter trust in Jesus Christ, undivided love for God, and sacrificial service. Persistence in suffering, boldness in life, total commitment in Jesus. But it's important how we frame these things. They're not requirements to get us in with God, but they're things that we do because we're in. In other words, let me frame it like this for you. What's this book called? The Gospel of Luke. Okay? The term gospel means good news. Now here, this becomes very important. It's not good advice. It's good news. What's the difference? Who's somebody in your life that gives you advice? Somebody tell me. Mom. Beautiful. A best friend. A pastor, teacher, a spouse. We could go on down the list. Okay? Advice is what? Advice is guidance on future action, right? It's do this And this will or probably will happen. That's what advice is. And advice is important. But what's news? News is something that's happened in the past. It's, listen to this. This has happened. Do you hear the difference? What we find in Luke is not advice. It's not advice on how to live. It's news about what has happened and the implications of it. Now that's huge. All other religions are advice. Christianity is news. All other religions give good, in some ways, moral direction. But Christianity alone gives advice, gives news about how we live because of the gospel. Luke brings very, very, very good news. And I'm grateful for that. Finally, I would say this in terms of the themes in Luke. He's going to tell us over and over and over again that if Jesus is real, then God can be trusted. God can be depended on. His promises of sending a deliverer came true. And His kingdom, the rule and reign of God, is now here and will be more fully expressed in the future. So, Luke wants us to have certainty. And so we're going to go on this journey together through the Gospel of Luke and see if we come out with certainty. Certainty is kind of an odd word today, isn't it? When you're out in your job, do you feel certainty? I would guess many of us don't. We live in a day of incredible, almost unparalleled uncertainty, don't we? Just this week, I hope you weren't putting money in the stock market. Okay? In one day, it had an enormous tank, enormous slide. We know there's not certainty there, right? We used to think there's certainty in getting a good education. Sorry to burst your bubble over here. But many of us have very good educations and now can't find work. So there's not certainty in education anymore. Society used to put the pressure on the family in such a way that it was thought that family provides certainty. But that's not true anymore. There is an enormous amount of uncertainty in our lives. And the amount of pressure and strain that puts on us is incredible. We really live in a pressure cooker society. And that's why things blow up every now and then. There's a great need for certainty. Luke wanted his friend, Theophilus, to have certainty. So much so that he was willing to give up his practice. I doubt riding around a horse in the ancient world, trying to hunt down eyewitnesses, was near as glamorous as his office job. But he was willing to do it. He was willing to give up years of his life, probably lots of money, prestige, in order to hunt down the truth. And the truth is what he presented us in the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to journey through it together, and we're going to have a great time. Now, the start of this is Jesus' first years. And typically, we always hear the story of Jesus when? Christmas. But it's not just a Christmas story. So we're going to look at it in the middle of the blazing heat, baby. All right? And if we've got to bust out a Christmas carol to get you in the mood, we can do that. All right? There's a lot we can learn from this little infant. The things that surround his early days are incredible. And we'll start next week by looking at a strange dude named John, who from his very beginnings had an odd initiation. And what we learn from his parents is more powerful probably than you've ever realized. So I hope you'll come back next week and we'll look at John's parents, when they were told they were going to have a kid, and what you might not want to do if an angel ever shows up and tells you something. All right? So that's next week. Let me pray. God, we live in uncertain times. And we kind of joke about that, but I'm not sure we realize how much pressure, stress, strain that puts on us. What can we really depend on anymore? Is there anything certain? Can we really say, but this I know for sure? Is that possible? God, when we come to the area of spiritual truth, I think that's where there may be this idea that there's the most uncertainty. I mean, everybody's got their pet ideas about God. Is there truth? Is there something we can depend on? Is there something we can know for sure? Luke came to believe yes. Help us to hear what he says, to take it in, to think hard about it, to talk to friends about it, to wrestle with what he says, to really ask ourselves, is Jesus the real deal? And then to make a decision. Guide us all as we do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.